We're on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, and we're towards the top of the Amud, and we're on the second line, the Savar Rabbi Meir. You have that? Good. So now, let's figure out what goes on. Rabbi Meir paskins in our Mishnah, back on Daf Lamed Hey Omid Aleph, that if you have a suffix, you're not sure where the Erev was, Bein Hashmashos, it got blown away, and it got burnt, it became Truma Tmeya, and we're not sure when exactly this occurrence took place. Was it before Shabbos, and therefore the Erev is invalid, or it was after it became dark, and the Erev was in its proper place at the moment of the onset of Shabbos during Bein Hashmashos? And Rabbi Meir paskins, in such a case, he has to be machmir because of Safek Eruv, which is not an Eruv. And the Gemara tells us that according to Rabbi Meir, there's a big chidush in the case of Trumash and Nitmes, because the Truma initially had a status of Chezkas Tahara, and basically the status of the Truma is that it's Tar until proven guilty. That's how Chazak operates. And if now you find it to be Tomei, then you have every right to assume that it became Tomei at the latest possible moment, meaning after Chashecha. And if not for the Mishnah of Truma Shenitmes, I would have assumed that even Rabbi Meir, who says Safek Eruv Lahachmir, would agree that in this case of Truma Tmeya, we would apply the principle of Lahakel, and we would validate the Eruv based on the Cheskes Tara of the Truma. In fact, the Gemara at the beginning of Nida tells us that if you have a mikveh that you know had 40 saw and it was kosher, now you check the mikveh and you find that it is chaser, it only has 39.9 saw, then any taros that were dipped into the mikveh are tar, because we assume based on the cheskas kashrus of the mikveh that the mikveh was mole, it had a full 40 saw, and we, you know, will delay and postpone the change in the status of the mikveh as long as we possibly can, based on the chazak of the status of the mikveh. And therefore here also, why not assume that the truma was tahora? We know it was tahora at one point. Let's assume it, Bein Hashmashos, it remained tahora, and that chazak should tell me that the mikveh, excuse me, that the Erev is valid. And the chiddush here, and that's the top here on Daf Lamed Amud Beis of the Mishnah, is that we're still going to be machmir, because even after the chazaka, we still have a suffix. We really don't know exactly when the truma became truma tmeya. And later on, the Gemara at the end of this Amud here, at the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to try to explain the final conclusion, and why is it that Rabbi Meir does not rely on Chazak? So we'll leave that as a question. So the Gemara says now, V'savar Rabbi Meir sfeiko l'chumra. The Gemara is assuming at this point that the entire enterprise of Tchum and the requirement of an Erev is all a rabbinic invention. And yet Rabbi Meir says that in a Safek Drabanan, like in the case of the Erev, if we don't know if it's valid or not, we have to go L'chumra. Is that really so? And the Gemara now is going to quote a Mishnah Mikvos to prove that Rabbi Meir holds that on a Drabanan, we're going to always say Safik Lekula. Vatnan, the Mishnah, the second parak of Mikvos, says that a Tomei Sheyorad Litbol, a Tomei went into a mikvah, Safek Taval, Safek Lo Taval, we're not sure if he was completely immersed in the mikvah. Maybe he left a finger out of the mikvah. We don't know. Or alternatively, Afilu Taval Safek Taval Barboim Sa, Safek Lo Taval Barboim Sa. We have a mikvah, and we're not sure if the mikvah has 40 sa or doesn't have 40 sa, and he went into the mikvah. V'chein shnei mikvos biachas yesh mem arbos, so biachas ein mem arbos, so v'tov biachas mem yudei ezmen toval. So he has two mikvos, one is kosher, one is not kosher, and he doesn't remember which one he went into. Is feiko tamei. This is what's called safik tumei v'shus hayochid, feiko tamei. And not only that, he had a cheskas tuma, and he's guilty until proven innocent in this case. He's going to remain tamei until we can be absolutely sure and have proof positive that he purified himself. And in these cases, we don't know one way or the other which mikveh to go into. Is therefore sveiko tamei, and sveiko tamei really is just a. It's just an expression of the cheskas tuma that he had before he went into the mikvah, whichever mikvah he went into, and he remains tamei. Oh, so far so good, and that is the resha of the Mishnah in mikvahs. Now we get to the sefer, and the sefer is going to qualify the resha and tell us when he's tar. V'mei dvarim amurim b'tuma chamura. Which means that he's Tomei as an Av HaTuma. He's a Zav, let's say. Because a man, a human being, only contracts Tuma if he's an Av HaTuma. That's called Tuma Chamura. He writes here the following. A mess is called A'aviavos HaTuma, and if the mess comes in contact with a human being, the human being now becomes Tomei. Now we have an Av HaTuma. That's a case of a sheretz or a nevela. Then we have something called a vlad HaTuma, which is someone who came in contact with an av HaTuma. And then there are many different madrigas amongst the vlad HaTuma. If a person is nogea bi av HaTuma, he's considered a rishon l'tuma. And anyone who has contact with him is called a sheni l'tuma. Anyone who comes in contact with a Sheni Lutum becomes a Shlishi Lutuma, and anyone who comes in contact with a Shlishi Lutum becomes a Revi Lutuma. And on a Doraisa level, a Vlad HaTuma is only Metame Ochlin Umashkin, but not Adam Vekeli. So once you get to the level of a Vlad HaTuma, means somebody who had a contact with an Av HaTuma, then on a Doraisa level, he's only able to convey Tuma to Ochlin Umashkin, but not to an Adam. However, the Rabbanan made a Gzera, and they instituted what's called Tuma de Rabbanan, that if a Vlad HaTuma comes in contact with a human being, then that person now becomes Tomei Midrabbanan. Now that's called, in the Lashon of the Mishnah in Mikvos that we're learning now, Tumakala. So he's only Tomei Midrabbanan. Right? So he's a human being who came in contact with an Ava Tuma, and he only contracts Tuma Mirabanan, because an Ava Tuma is only Mitami Doraisa Ochlin Umashk. Now we have another case of a Tuma Mirabanan, and that's the case where an Ava Tuma was Mitami Ochlin Umashkin, and then a person went ahead and he ate the Ochlin Umashkin. So the Ochlin Umashkin have the status of a Rishon Lutuma, because the Ochlin Umashkin came in contact with an Ava Tuma, and now they become a Rishon Lutuma. And if a person eats the Ochlin Umashkin, he's only Tomei Midrabbana. Kigon Sheochal Ochlin Tmeim Vishosa Mashkin Tmeim. Vechein also abba rosho veruba b'mayim she'uvim. So this is a mikvah which was disqualified midrabbanon. So he may be tamei, but he went into a mikvah which on a deraisa level would be metayer him. It's kosher l'tvila. And now his status is that of a tamei derabbanon. Oh, shenaflu al rosho val rubo. Shlosha Lugin Mayim She'uvin. And it's very interesting because when a person comes out of the mikvah, he thinks naturally he wants to take a shower, but that's not a good idea. He should take a shower before he goes into the mikvah, not after he comes out of the mikvah, because the Rabbanon said that if you go into a shower after the mikvah, you become Tomei. That's a sugya at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. In any event, these are all various cases of a Tomei Mirabbanon, V'yarad V'tovel, he went into this mikvah. Now we're not sure if he went into a mikvah kshera, we don't know which mikvah, or did he dip himself totally in the mikvah. Is Sofek Tovel, Sofek Lo Tovel, V'afilu Tovel, but Sofek Tovel, Barboim, Sofek Lo Tovel, Now, when it says Sveiko Tar, that's what's called an anonymous Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yossi. He's the dissenting view, and he says he's Tomei. But the original position of what we call the Tanakhama, since it's not attached to any specific name, we assume that that reflects the shita of Rabbi Meir. If you find a contradiction, then you have to find a contradiction. If you find a braisa or another mishnah where Rabbi Meir disagrees, that's one thing. But in the absence of such evidence, we assume the Tanakhama is Rabbi Meir. And the Tanakhama says Sveiko Tar, which means that we have a fundamental distinction between a Tuma Doraisa, where a Sofek Tvila, he remains Tomei, as opposed to a Tuma Derabanan, where a Sofek Tvila makes him Tar. Rabbi Yossi Mitame, even a Sofek Tuma Derabanan, according to Rabbi Yossi, is Sveiko Tomei, but since the Tanakhama is Mekil, and we have a klal that a Stam Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir is Mekil and a Sofek Tuma, if it's a case of Sofek Derabanan. So therefore, let's go back to Rabbi Meir and Av Mishnah, who says that in Sofek Eruv, the Eruv is invalid. This, despite the fact that the requirement in Eruv is only Derabanan. And the Gemara now backtracks, finally, and rejects its original assumption that Rabbi Meir agrees that Eruvin is only Derabanan. Because Rabbi Meir Tchumido Raisa Ninu, Rabbi Meir holds that the Torah itself recognizes the Eruv and requires an Eruv in order to allow you to walk Chutz L'Tchum, because the Isur Tchumen is Doraisa, which by the way is not just the Shita of Rabbi Meir, it's also the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and I believe we have encountered the Shita of Rabbi Akiva in Masechta Shabbos, and it's derived from the pasuk al Yetze Ish Mimkomo Biyom HaShabbos, and Mekomo is considered within the Tchum of 2,000 amma. So tchumin is doraisa. On a doraisa level, you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Akiva. And if that be the case, then any time you're trying to figure out if the Erev is valid or not, you're basically dealing with the suffix doraisa, according to Rabbi Meir. Hence, Rabbi Meir is machmir if you don't know if the Erev was there Bein HaShmashas or wasn't there, was already lost before Bein HaShmashas, so the Trum became Tmei before Bein HaShmashas. You cannot rely on such an Erev, which is a Safek Kasha, Safek Pasul, because Erev Tchumin is Doraisa. So it's interesting that this halacha, that Tchumin is Doraisa, appears in Masechta Erevin on Daf Lamed Hei. It took us 35 blot in Masechta Erevin until we found out that according to Rabbi Meir, Erevin is Doraisa. Very interesting. So now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha from a Mishnah later on. And honestly, I learned this Mishnah, but I know that I don't understand this Mishnah. And I need what we call Siyata Dishmaya, you know, special help from above to understand this Mishnah. I'll give a little bit of an introduction, some background to this Mishnah. Okay. Now, the Mishnah wants to know, how do we measure tchum in the case of a city, right? The halacha is that you go to the outskirts of the city, and then from there, you can measure 2,000 amma. That's the tchum of Shabbos. 2,000 amma outside the outskirts of the city. But it's not always a simple matter to calculate the outskirts of the city. Where's the outer boundary of the city? I mean, for that, you basically have to learn the fourth parak of Masechta Eruv. Yeah, the Gemara has cases where you have one house that protrudes outside of the city limits. Does that extend the city? You can have a case of a city that's shaped like a rainbow, like a keshet, like a bow, in which, you know, the people live around this semicircle, and you don't know what's the boundary of the city, because there could be a whole 4,000 amma between one end of the bow and the other end of the bow. So it's amazing if you live on this side, you know how much. Anyway, the halachas of how to calculate tchumin and what is the outer boundary of the city are quite complicated. This Mishnah that we're studying now might easily be the most complicated of all cases. Because what you have is a city that's made up of mountains and valleys. And how do you calculate 2,000 amma? Now, normally, when you want to calculate 2,000 amma, you have a string, a rope, and you know the size of the rope, and let's say the rope is, you know, 10 amos, so you stretch it out 10 amos, and then you take the rope from the top, you know, from the head of the rope, and so forth and so on. In the case of mountains and valleys, it really becomes complicated. Im eno yochol lehavlio. So he's trying to measure the tchum for a mound or a valley, and does he have to measure the ups and downs, you know, the slopes? Like, let's say, for example, I would be standing next to you on one side of the mountain with a valley in front of us, and I would ask you to take the other side of the rope and climb the mountain, leaving a valley in between us. So now the rope goes above the valley. That's one way of calculating it. So you follow what I'm saying? We're on the boundary of the city, and let's say you got up to the last house in the city, and now right in front of that house, beyond, what you're looking is to a ravine. And one method of calculating would be to go down into the ravine and keep calculating. I mean, before you know it, you'll get to 2,000 amma. The other way is to send your friend to the other mountain peak and send over the rope. And you'll be holding on to one end of the rope and he to the other. So, im eino yochel avlio. Now, okay, one more introduction here. The ropes that they used to use to calculate tchum were 50 amos long. They were very long ropes. And if you had two people, let's say, for example, in flat ground, forget about these mounds and ravines, if you had flat ground, it's very easy. Because we would both start together, holding on to the rope. And let's say you start walking 50 amos, and you're stretching the rope, because you're holding on to the other end of the rope, and when we finally stretch the rope out, we know that we've calculated 50 amos. Now I'm going to join you, and we'll do the same thing, get another 50 amos, another 50 amos, and we'll keep calculating until we get to the 2,000 amos. So that's one way of doing it. If we could apply that same method of stretching the rope out, and you're holding that end, when you get there, you know, and I get this end, then we would really be able to limit the number severely by obviating the need to go down into the ravine. So, im ein yochel avlio. Now he's got a ravine where the distance between one mountain peak and the other mountain peak with the valley in the middle is more than 50 amma. And if they're using a rope of 50 amma, then there's no way that he can stretch the rope out from one mound to the other, from one mountain peak to the other. Is Bezu in such a case, Amar Avdostoy Bar Yanai Mishum Rabbi Meir, Shamati Shemekadrim Baharim. Now the word kidur is to drill a hole. And if you take this statement of Rav Dostoy literally, it means he drills holes in the mountain. What does that mean? That he drills holes in the mountain. He says, the mountain is to be regarded as though a tunnel has been drilled through it, thereby enabling one to measure the level distance from one side of the other. Alright, so this is the part of the sugya that I don't understand. I mean, this is really a sugya not for us. It's way, way later on. He writes the following, that literally Mekadrim Baharim means Nokvim Behar. We drill holes in the mountain. Klomar, ein modedin es kol hashipua shel ahar. We don't have to measure the entire depth of the valley, right? You know what I mean? The incline on the valley, and use this rope that's 50 amma, and that's exactly what we would do if it was flat ground. Ella notlim chevel shel arba amos. Instead of a chevel of 50 amma, we're going to take a chevel of 4 amos. Ushnei bnei adam ochazin b'shnei k'tzosov, and you have two people that are holding on to the ends of this 4 amos rope. So one stands higher in the valley and the other lower in the valley. But Elyon Ochezbo Keneged Raglov, Vatachton Ochezbo Keneged Libo. So the one who's on top of this mound, he bends himself down and he holds the rope at feet level, like, let's say, at the level of his knees. The one who's below him is going to hold his end of the rope, again, 4 amos later, kineged libo, near his heart. And now the chevel is on a straight line, and they're going to do this every 4 amos, Shebemaila Hahar, the ofen ze ene modidim es kol hashipua, the nimtzeis midas haderech miskatzeres. One second, what does this mean? Why is it midas haderech miskatzeres? I'm not catching it. Midas haderech miskatzeres. Upirish nokvim bahar, hainu shedonim ke'ilu yesh nekev b'makom shebo omeid ha'elyon, v'hu omeid b'toch ha'nekev ad libo, ולפיכך אף שהוא מחזיק את החבל כנגד רגלוב, הרי זה נידון כמגדידה רגילה, שבו המודד מחזיק בחבל כנגד ליבו. I'm not sure, but for some reason, and I guess you have to know more geometry than I know, but by allowing one person who's holding the chevel on his side at chest height and the other one at feet height, somehow that diminishes the size or the distance. Because he says, midas haderech miskatzeres.
So if you think of a triangle,
yeah,
the top part is horizontal, and then you have the vertical, and you've got the diagonal. So now you're not measuring the diagonal anymore, which would be the longest. You're just measuring the horizontal. So maybe you have like a 3x4x5 triangle. You're just measuring the 3 horizontal.
Does that diminish the distance between one person and the other?
So, right, so instead of it being the 5 on the diagonal along the slope, it's just 3 as if you evened out that slope there, you know, and you made it straight, so that there was, you know, like a horizontal ledge there, it would have only been 3. But if you have to climb up the diagonal, you're climbing up 5.
Okay, and Steve, you understand that? I mean, as long as you understand it, that's okay with me, you know.
Okay.
I think as time goes on, I mean, again, this is a sugya. Where is the sugya? On Daf Nun Ches Omid Beis, correct? We're on Lamed Hey Omid Beis.
Right.
So that's a full 20 blot ahead of us, more, 25. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'll get smarter as I go along.
If you saw the picture of it, you could see what would happen, how you're measuring.
Right. I have a little bit of a picture here, but it doesn't seem to do it for me.
Yeah.
In any event, the point is that this is a leniency in how to calculate the Alpayim Amah of Tchum. Let's just see if we can swing back to our sugya and figure out how this is going to shed a light on Rabbi Meir. Isal kedaitoch tchumin doraisa. if we're holding that the requirement of tchum, that you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 alma, is a Torah requirement, mi makadrin, would we allow for this leniency of, so to speak, figuratively, you know, drilling into the mountain in order to be makatzer, as we said before, to shorten the midah of the distance? The Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Baravua, Ein Makadrin, Lo Ba'ari Miklot, the Lo Be'egla Arufa, Mipnei She Hein Shel Torah. So we see here clearly that whenever the Torah requires a Medida, so for example, if you find the dead body slain, that's laying between two cities, and we have to determine which city is the closest city, because that city will be chayav in Egla Arufa, in the whole Arifa Egla. And says Rav Nachman, with that calculation, you have to be moded, you have to measure from the dead body where it's found to each of these two close cities, which is closer. Then we're not going to allow for this medida of makadrin. It's going to have to be a straight medida, which I guess would mean they're both holding the rope at the same level. Or, for example, with regard to Ari Miklot, that if a person kills Bishogeg and the Gol Adam is allowed to kill him unless he runs to an Ir Miklot, as we had in this week's parsha, and the Ir Miklot is not just the city itself that protects the Rotzeach, but also the Tchum, the expanded Tchum of 2,000 Amah around the city. And once the Rotzeach Peshogeg gets, you know, flees and he runs to the Tchum around that circle, that belt around the city of Ir Miklot, then he's already got protection. Once again, when I'm going to calculate the tchum of the Ir Miklot, it's got to be with a regular medida, two people holding the rope at two ends, but at the same straight level, not allowing one to be low and one to be high, because they're d'oraisa. So that from the fact that the Mishnah later on allows this kind of kedira, right, a makadrin, in the case of Erevin, it must be that Tchumin is the Rabbanon. So again, if the Medida is Doraisa, then even in a case where there are Harim and Amakim, right, you have mountains and valleys, then you're going to have to be Modeid. You'll have to measure them in the case of the Doraisa, which you mentioned, sort of Ir Miklot and Egla Rufa, the same exact way you would measure flat ground, even though that's going to expand, you know, the measurement. And it may turn out that he's too far away from the city, right, in order to get the protection of the city. But from the fact that Makadrin, in the case of Tchum Shabbos, and once again we're going to apply the principle that the Reish of this Mishnah here in Erevin is Rabbi Meir, it reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, because it's an anonymous Mishnah, I mean the Reish is anonymous, is therefore, if Rabbi Meir accepts the principle, forget what I just told you. It says Rav Dostoy Mishum Rabbi Meir. So this Mishnah of Makadrin Baharim is attributed outright to Rabbi Meir. So it seems that Rabbi Meir holds that Tchumin is only Drabbanan. Otherwise he couldn't have allowed for this leniency, Lekatzer as Amida, by using the Makadrin method of Medida. And now we're getting back to the case of Safek Eruv. Why did he say that Safek Eruv L'chumra? And you cannot rely on this Safek Eruv in the case of Tumah, when you had a Tomei Derabbanan, we relied on the principle of Safik Derabbanan Lekula to be Matayer here. Lokasha Hadidei Hadarabe. Rav Meir holds that Tchumen is Doraisa, but when he suggested that Mekadrin Baharim, you'll notice that the language of the Mishnah is Shamati Shemekadrin Baharim. Do you see that word Shamati? Which means that he is quoting his Rebbe, and that's what he calls Shamati. Shamati means in the Mesorah, the transmission of Torah Shabbat, I heard from my Rebbe that Mekadrin Baharim. But that doesn't reflect Rabbi Meir's own Shita, because Rabbi Meir holds, not like his Rebbe, that Tchumen is Doraisa. And now we understand why a Suffolk Erev, according to Rabbi Meir, is invalid. And Dekonami, Dekotani, Bezu, Omar, Rabbi Dostoy, Bar Yanai, Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Shamati, Shemekadrin Baharin. So the extra word Shamati, in the words of Rabbi Meir, is, I wouldn't have expressed this view on my own, I'm just expressing this view because Shamati, that's what I heard. Shma Mino, so we see clearly that Rabbi Meir is only quoting a sheet of his Rebbe, that Mekadrin Baharim, namely that Tchumen is Derabbanan, but he himself, Rabbi Meir, maintains that Tchumen is Doraisa. Now the Gemara has another contradiction and another proof that Rabbi Meir holds that, what do you mean, Safek in Eruv is Doraisa. Berami Doraisa, Doraisa, Rabbi Meir. There is a contradiction in Rabbi Meir of two statements with regard to the laws of Sfekis Doraisa. Tisnan, because we learned in the Mishnah in Taros, is Noga the Echad Balaila, the Eni Odea Imchai Immes. So a tar had contact with a dead body, but he's not sure if the body was dead or not, because he came in contact with this body when it was Lila, and he wasn't able to discern whether the person had already died or not. Only with daylight did he realize that this body that he came in contact with was mess. And now we have a suffix. At the moment that he touched this body, was it already a dead body? And that's called Tumas Maga. Or perhaps at that hour, maybe the person had not yet died. Maybe died during the course of the night, after the Torah came in contact with him. So the Mishnah records Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir Mitayer. In other words, Rabbi Meir is willing to say that if you don't know if you contracted Tumah or not, then you remain Tar. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty. Chachamim on the other hand, mitamim. Kol atmeos kishas mitziyosan. Everything depends upon that moment when the suffix arose. Now this is complicated. What does it mean, kol atmeos kishas mitziyosan? So here we're introducing a concept called Chazaka da Hashta, otherwise known as Kishas Mitziyosam. And we look at the situation as it is now, and instead of going backwards in time and saying, well, originally this person was Becheskas Tar, we're going to look at the situation as it appears now. We find that the body is Nebuch dead. We're going to go back in time and assume that if it's dead now, it was dead already the night before. In any event, we have here two contradicting chazokas, which means we have arrows that point in opposite directions. there's one arrow which begins with the person himself who finds the dead, or I shouldn't say the dead because we don't know if he's dead, but he comes in contact with this body, that person has a cheskas tara. And that generates an arrow that tells me that you can only change that status, that situation, if you know for sure that it changed. So that if we don't know if this person, this body, was alive or dead at night when the person came, the Torah came in contact with it, the cheskas tara of the person is going to tell me to delay that change as long as we can and assume the person was alive. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, let's look at the body today. And that's called Nimtza Bifaneinu. And when we find Nimtza Bifaneinu, that the body is dead, we assume the arrow tells me that it was dead even last night. But in any event, what we want to get out of this Mishnah, which is a problem for our understanding of Rabbi Meir, is that Rabbi Meir relies on a Chazaka, even in a case of a Safek Doraisa Lehakel, and to continue the status of the tar as a tar, despite the suffix that we have today, because we find that this body is no longer alive. And that's against Rami Meir and suffix Eruv, because you have a truma, and you don't know exactly when the truma became truma tmeya, and the truma itself initially was tar, so we should assume that that change in the status of the truma was delayed, so to speak. You know, we delay that change of status till we certainly know it became Tommy. So in Beit HaShemoshel, we had a right to assume that this Eruv was Truma Tahora. Just like the person, when he comes in contact with the body, we assume that since he had a Cheskas Tara, we continue that Cheskas Tara and he remains Tar. And again, you can't differentiate here between Doraisas and Drabonans. Because if Rabbi Meir disqualifies the Erev in the case of Truma Tmeya because Truman is Doraisa, he should have been Metame, this person, like the Chacham in fact did, because we're dealing with a Doraisa. Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, how do we reconcile this again? We're going to talk about Rabbi Meir. He's going to rely on a Chazaka, even Lakula, even on a Doraisa level. But Mishnah Senu, you want to know why it was Machmir in our Mishnah in the case of Truma Tmeya? And the answer is Shahaya Aleha Sheretz Kol Bein HaShemoshos. There was a Sheretz that was sitting on the Truma during the entire course of Bein HaShemoshos. I don't get it. So then we're not talking about a suffix situation. We know that during Bein HaShemoshos, this Truma contracted Tuma. It was Truma Tmeya. And Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says that he will rely on the Eruv and validate it. How could that be? It's Truma Tmeya. No one's allowed to eat Truma Tmeya. And now we're saying that the Sheretz was there during the entire course of Bein HaShemoshos. How could the Eruv possibly be kosher according to Rabbi Yossi? Ihachi, Beha, Lema, Rabbi Yossi, Safek, Eruv, Kosher? Is it possible, is it conceivable that Rabbi Yossi would validate this Eruv when we know that it was Truma Tmeya during the entire course of Bein HaShemoshos? So this statement of Rabbi Yirmiya is enigmatic. Rabbi Yossi, the Ami Travayu, these two Amoraim are now going to clarify what Rabbi Yirmiya had in mind, that any time that Rabbi Meir says we should go Basar Chazok Lahakel, like for example when he touches a body and we don't know whether he became Tommy or not, so we're going to say according to Rabbi Meir it's Tar. But Hacha, now Mishnah, B'shtei kitei edim askinon. We're dealing with a case of treu tre. Achas omeres mibod yom nitma. V'achas omeres mishachashecha nitma. So we have two pairs of edim testifying about this same Eruv. as to whether or not during Bein HaShemashes it was Truma Tahara, it was Truma Tmeya. And let's say the first pair of Edim say that it was Truma Tmeya. In other words, the Sheretz fell on the Eruv even before Bein HaShemashes. So we're not going to accept the first pair of Edim because the second pair of Edim contradict them. And the Chachamim are going to say that since we have two Edim that say that the Erev is Batel, that it was already Truma Tmeya going into Bein HaShemashos, so that's enough to at least accomplish one goal, that there's no Chezkas Tara on this Truma. Because we have two Edim that say that it was Tomei going into Shabbos, going into Bein HaShemashos. If that be the case, we don't really have a Chazaka here to be Mekil, because we have a real Suffolk Doraisa, and the first pair of Edim who testify that the Truma from the onset was Truma Tmeya, they at least liquidate, or shall we say, invalidate any sort of Chazaka. So that Rabbi Yossi is going to be Mekil in our Mishnah in a Suffolk Truma Shenitmeis. Because since you have two pairs of Edom that are contradicting each other, we don't know which pair of Edom should be accepted, you know, should be given should be reliable. And the Truma remains in its Chazaka, says Rabbi Yossi. And it had a Cheskas Truma Tahora. That's what it was. That was its status when they put it down as an Eruv. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, in such a case, we're going to be Mekil, because we're going to throw out both pairs of Edom. Neither pair of Edom is reliable, and therefore we go back to the original status of the Truma. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, holds both pairs of Edom are reliable. And one pair of Edom says that this Truma was Tmeo already with the onset of Bein HaShemashos, so we're going to have to get rid of the Chazaka. And in that case, we're going to apply the principle of Safik Doraisa, Lechumra. That's the answer that is given here by... Sorry. The answer given by Rabba and Rav Yosef. So again, just to summarize Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the reason why Rabbi Meir invalidates this Eruv is because we have a situation here of Treu Tre. So on the one hand, you know, we want to support and clarify Rabbi Meir's Shita. But on the other hand, if we do too good of a job, then we won't understand Rav Yossi. So for example, if we're going to say that the Sheretz was on the Truma together, you know, with the onset of Shabbos and Bein HaShemashos, then we won't understand Rav Yossi. So on the one hand, we're going to try to justify Rav Yossi, but at the same time understand Rabbi Meir's Chumrah. And the issue really is, what do we do with Trey Utrey? What do we do with a conflict, a head-on collision between two pairs of Eidim? And Rav Yossi is willing to throw them all out. And therefore, we go back to the status of the Truma, which at the moment of Bein HaShemashos was Truma Tahora. So we can validate the Eruv based on that Chazaka. That's not the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is going to say, no, we're going to have to consider and be Machshiv both pairs of Edom. And one pair of Edom clearly says that the Chazaka is null and void, that this Truma was already Truma Tmeya with the onset of Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, as we said before, he throws out both pair of Edom. And finally, Rava Amar, and we'll try to wrap it up, that even in the case where somebody touched a body at night, that's also a case of Shtei Kitei Edos HaMachishos Zu Esu, and one pair of Edom says that we know that that at the moment that he touched this body, the body was still alive. The other pair of Eidim say, we know that the body died, the person expired before he came in contact with it. Nevertheless, we're not going to ask any kashas on Rabbi Meir, because Hassam, in the case there where he came in contact with this body, and we're trying to figure out if the body was alive or dead, is Trei Chazake Lekula. We have two Chazakos to be Mekil and to be Metayer him. One is Hamed Mesal Chazkoso. In other words, we know that this person was alive, so let's assume that the time, at the moment that this Tar came in contact with this body, he continued to be Chai, he was still alive. And we have a second Chazok of Hamed Nogel Chazkoso, that the person who came in contact with this body, he was Tar, so he has a Chazkos Tara. So when we have two Chazokas to be Metayer, then the Chachom are not going to be Machmir. And to worry about the Eidim, that pair of Eidim that said he was dead already at the time of the contact. So that's where Rabbi Meir goes Chazaka Lekula, because of the combined forces of two Chazakas. But for Hacha, here in our Mishnah of Eruv, Chazaka Lekula, we only have one Chazaka that would tell me that the Truma is Tahora, and that's the Cheskas Tara of the Truma. And in this case, the Rabbanan are going to be Machmir to be Choshesh for that pair of Edim that testified that the Truma became Tmeya before Ben Hashmashos. And even though there's Akhasha on this pair of Eidim, because we have another pair of Eidim that say no, it was still Tar in Bein HaShmashos, nevertheless, the one pair of Eidim that testify that the Truma was Tmeya going into Shabbos serves one function, and that is to be Mafkia, to be Mevatil, the Cheskas Tara of the Truma. And once you have no Cheskas Tara of the Truma, there's no way that you could be Mekil and validate the Eruv, and therefore Rabbi Meir was Machmir in our Mishnah. I just want to read one of the footnotes here in the Masifti. He says, L'chora nitan lafarish is divrei Rava. So Rava gave this answer of Trei Chazake Lekula. Kipshutam. Shebe'emes gam legabe Noga b'echad v'gam b'mishnasenu ein medubar klal sheyesh eidim b'dover v'achiluk b'neim hu shebenoga b'echad yesh tei chazokas lahokil ach legabi eruv yesh rak chazoka achas al kein hichmir bo Rabbi Meir. So we could read Rava without introducing Eidus here. We only introduced Eidim based on Rashi, not based on the text of the Gemara. And why didn't Rashi just learn the Gemara Kipshuta that, you know, Rava is comparing and contrasting Treches Ke Chazaka to one Chazaka? And he says the following, Kevon Shesovar She'im Ein Eidim Neged Cheska Satara Shalatruma Vadai Mo'ilo Chazaka Zulahakshir Sa'erev Aflu Divrei Reb Meir. Rashi was convinced, based on the previous Sugya, that Reb Meir would also be Machshir the Eruv in the case of Truma based on one simple Chazaka of Chazak Lahakshir. In other words, that the Truma had a Cheskas Tara, and therefore we would be Machshir the Eruv. And therefore, it's only because there are at least two Eidim who testify that they know the Sheretz was there going into Bein HaShmoshos. That's why we destroy the Chazaka. And that's the basis for Rabbeir's Chumrah. That's why, in the case of Noga B'Echad, what we want to do is introduce Trei Chezkei Lekula by saying that, you know, that we have Edim, but we have two chazakas. We have the Hamid Mes al Cheskoso, and we have Hamid Nogea al Cheskoso. So therefore, since in the case of the Erev with the Truma, we need Treu Trey, therefore Rashi insisted that even in the case of Safeg Noga Bimes, where we're going to apply the Trey Cheske Lekula, we need a Treu Trey situation with two pairs of Edim. Okay, then let's just make a note of where we got up to here. We're on the top of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, on the second line from the top, Kasha Derab Yossi, Ad Derab Yossi.